bones are amazing things. They hold us up. They support us. They make us strong. But bones have other uses. In the past, bones were thrown by diviners, seeking out the mysteries of the future. Now the bones are cubes, made of plastic or resin, but they still reveal things to us as they fall from our fingers and rattle across the table. The story becomes clear. Welcome to Bone Throwers Theater, an RPG actual play podcast.
Welcome back to Bone Throwers Theater. My name is Jeremy. We are playing the skeletons, and my skeleton is the tattered cloak.
My name is Aaron, and my skeleton is the headless.
This is Johnny. My skeleton is the horror.
And I'm Jordan, and my skeleton is the crawler. We are entering into the first phase of the game, the unsealed tomb. Arise and protect the tomb, skeletal guardians! And now we meet our first band of intruders. Choose an intruder, mark it, and follow the instructions. When two intruders have been dealt with, go to the time of dust, the next phase. Now, at this point, we can go ahead and we have three different choices. Do we want to go ahead and deal with them in order, or do you want me to roll a die?
Roll a die.
One and two go to the first, three and four to the second, five and six to the third. Two. We are going with the first. Grave rats! How do you drive away such small, agile creatures and prevent their return? Everyone can answer one question if they wish. Choose once on either the glory fades or God's laugh tables. So, rats are entering in. Who would like to control the rats?
I'll control the rats.
Okay. So, the horror stays in place during this encounter. How do you think that the rats will enter into the room?
I think that they are scurrying and scattering.
Okay. Are they coming from any particular direction, or are they
coming from the rough wall?
And that is to the western side.
The western wall, yeah.
Now, are they coming more towards the northwest part of the wall where I'm standing, or are they coming more towards the southwest side?
They're actually coming from the center, going straight for the sarcophagus.
Okay. And are they swarming the sarcophagus directly, or are they trying to spread out throughout the room?
They're spreading out throughout the room, but they're like, look like they're trying to circle around the sarcophagus.
Okay. Crawler comes to life. Crawler is one of the first to notice, because he is low to the ground, and he is able to scurry at the rats at their own level. He holds his much-nicked knife in his hands, and he scatters forward, trying to impale small rats on the blade and fling them up into the air. Some of them, as he goes to throw them up, he changes his mind, and he closes his jaws upon the vertebrae of the small, foul beasts.
So this was made by the same guy that made a fiasco?
Correct.
Okay, so it's very freeform.
Correct.
So then we're just going to go around the table describing what we would do to try to fend off the rats.
Yes.
Okay.
So Tattered Cloak will come to life as a rat is scurrying, since it was said that they're kind of spreading out around the room. A rat, unfortunately, for its sake, is scurrying right in front of where Tattered Cloak is kneeling. And as Tattered Cloak comes to life, goes to stand up, stepping on one of the rats. And then the sword that was down in the ground, as he's standing up, is impaling another one.
Do you have any thoughts going through your mind as you are trying to kill these rats? Do they remind you of anything in your past?
So, we have these other questions that says you answer these questions as time passes. Right. Is this kind of...
No, time passes is what happens next.
Okay.
This is more, I guess, just a freeform question that I'm asking to build a little bit of background for your character.
Just that how dare these creatures come into this sacred place? How could they defile the tomb of such a great person? What does the headless do?
Well, so I am carrying a holy symbol. And so what I am going to do is hold out the holy symbol towards the rats and begin to, I don't know what the term would be because I'm dead, channel my faith. And what you see is you see a light shine out of the symbol.
Okay.
And start to push the rats, creating like a wave of energy to push them away.
How is this light different from the light that reflects from the sun portal around the mirrors in the room?
So it's a more yellow light, but there's a lot of almost like a sick purple streaks through it.
How did the rats respond to this?
The rats run away from the light. You see the rats starting to swarm towards the sarcophagus from all sides. Some of them are climbing up it.
Scattered throughout the room are different spoils of war that have been buried with the master of the sarcophagus. Crawler is going to take a mail coat made from finely woven rings that were made in the forges of ages gone by. And he is going to throw this mail coat over the sarcophagus as much as he can to try and block the rats from getting into it. Now, it is very hard for him to do because he is perpetually bent over.
He can't throw up very well.
Correct. I have to scuttle and crouch like a beast. I am able to knock off some of the rats as they climb on top of it, but they also start swarming me. And I start feeling this panic and this fear that reminds me of when I was alive and I would have to be called upon to do something that would require great physical strength and agility, because I would not be able to succeed at that, and it would cause me much shame. And as I try and throw this metal mail coat over the sarcophagus, there is a voice that rises from my memories that says, "You will never be able to succeed where other men can."
So what are these questions?
So one of these questions, and I think I like one of them specifically. Oh, yeah, I know which one I want to go with. I know which one I want to answer from those questions.
Okay. Would you like to choose a question to answer at this point?
Oh, so
we're supposed to choose as a group?
Yeah, we can go ahead and choose as a group. Would you like me to roll the die for that? Even for the first table, odd for the second table?
Sure.
And then we can roll on to see what question comes up. Even, so we're going with the first table. Glory fades. There are six questions, so we'll just go ahead and roll. Number one.
Oh.
The magic compelling one of the skeletons to service, but not its undead energy, is beginning to fade.
Is that a question?
Or is that something that happens?
That's something that happened.
Okay. Yeah. So the question is, which one of the skeletons?
Yeah.
I have an interesting thing that I could... Because these mirrors that are around the room are, I'm just imagining that as the day passes, the light hits a certain mirror.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the mirror that was reflecting and shining on the topaz niche. So Tattered Cloak, since that's where he was sort of nearby,
yeah.
As the light leaves that mirror, you see almost like a darkness start to surround Tattered Cloak. Like the cloak is red, it starts to dull and look more muted and less vibrant.
Like the color is being leached away by the light. Or by the lack of the light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's your will to protect draining away.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the next part of the thing that everyone can answer one question that they wish, I think that will come with as the time passes.
Which is the next phase, we deal with the...
We have to deal with the rats.
Intruder. Correct.
Yes.
Okay.
This actually sounds like everybody's supposed to be able to choose one from
the glory
phase, because it says everyone can answer one question if they wish, choose one
either
on either the glory fades or got a clap
table. Okay, so we can go ahead and do that.
Yeah, I'll stick with
what you did for
that one.
Yeah, like you like that one. All right, do you want to go ahead and go next?
Oh, wow. Huh. Can I answer one while I describe something that I'm continuing to do?
Yes.
To drive away the rats?
Absolutely.
All right, so I am going to, since I'm using this amulet, I'm marching towards the sarcophagus in an attempt to continue pushing the rats. I'm trying to herd them towards the exit.
Okay.
But as the magic from my amulet reaches Crawler, Crawler's bones begin to change from white to a dark black color. The question is, from God's laugh, a skeleton's appearance is altered in some way. Perhaps they are marked by fire or magic. So Crawler's bones are beginning to shift from that white to black as they are touched by the magic I'm pushing out.
Sounds good. And I begin working with you to try and herd the rats along, snarling and snapping. Yeah, maybe crying a little bit.
While you're herding the rats, you see them swarming on the sarcophagus, some of them jumping off of it. And as they're jumping, the sarcophagus starts to rock. And it shifts off its location. Not by much, just a couple inches. But the seal that was holding it to the ground is now broken.
Which direction does it shift? North, south, east, or west?
It shifts kind of southwest.
I'm just putting a little arrow so we know that it kind of shifted a little bit.
And that answers one of the questions as well.
Which question?
The something you're protecting is broken.
It broke the seal at the bottom. So the sarcophagus is still fine, but it's not quite.
It's not where it's supposed to be anymore.
Yeah.
Just so I can say what Tattercloak has been doing and show some more effect of what's going on. Has Tattercloak had been stepping on or stabbing the rats? They were just kind of wasting away into this black powder that would just like poof and then fall to the ground. As the color of his cloak begins to fade, they go from just disappearing like that, and then they start crumbling, and eventually they just start either getting crushed or sliced. So they're no longer just disappearing.
Dying.
Yeah.
I like that.
So I'm going to answer a question. Something from a skeleton's past has been accidentally revealed. What was it and why was it hidden? I think that Crawler's memory is true. And when his bones start turning black, you start to see places along his legs and his hips and the lower vertebrae where it looks like his bones had been intentionally broken to force him into a crawling state.
Hmm. It's almost like you can see these crisscross lines that don't quite match the same color.
Yeah. It's like shot through with the golden purple of the magic light.
Hmm.
Why was it hidden? Because the one in the sarcophagus did not want the shame to be known.
I thought about having a rat steal your head, which was laying on the other side of the chamber from you.
I thought that my head was going to be in the room too. But I was like, nah, all right. That's...
Because one of the questions is, skeleton loses a bone permanently.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking whoever's in the sarcophagus is holding your head.
All right. So the rats, have they been driven out?
Yeah.
Have we figured out how to stop them from coming back?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Is that something we have to do?
This is just a daily thing.
We'll go ahead and say that we take the headless's head and we shove it into the hole that they came out.
Okay.
Keep them watch. Eyes into the wall.
All right. So now that they have been dealt with, time passes. After each intruder is driven away or killed, choose, mark, and sit in darkness as indicated. Think about the endless silence and unfathomable darkness. Our options are no time at all, a day, a week, a month, a year, or a decade.
A month.
Yeah.
All right.
Before we get to the time passes, just something I think would be cool. As the rats are driven out, Tattercloak goes to the next niche over and kneels in front of Ruby.
All right. Go ahead and turn off the lights.
No, so we're supposed to answer some of these questions as time passes.
Yes. Go ahead and answer whichever question feels right to you.
I like that. By what binding did you earn in life that describes the fear your existence evoked? His pet.
That's your answer?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Why did you spend your life on all fours, loping like an animal? I was disfigured to be an amusement for them in the sarcophagus.
How dark do we want this to get?
Very dark.
Is there any kind of markings or statues or anything in the...
Yes. Those are the seven gemmed daughters.
I know those are the seven gemmed daughters, but, like, are there statues in front of there?
We have not determined.
Okay.
There are bodies interned there.
Yeah.
Okay. There could be statues.
There's actually, like, not statues, but, you know, like, a carved stone that's kind of, like, mm-hmm. fronting them. I actually carved those stones, the coverings over those.
Are they, like, masks of who's inside? Or are they specific scenes in someone's life or a holy story?
It's a mixture of both. They are masks that are their faces, but their faces idealized. And part of that is also showing the seven stages of the saint's life. Similar to how we put, you know, crosses on our tombs. It's that same idea, you know. They're religious symbols on each of those things.
Interesting. That's how you describe that. The phases of his life.
Of the saint's life?
Of the saint's life.
Well, I didn't say his life.
But yeah, it's the saint's life. The saint's life. But it's like, on the one side, you have all these various shades of green. Then you have topaz in the middle, which is like a pale blue. And then it turns to ruby red and gets darker down to onyx, which is black for death, you know? So it's like the birth of life, living life, war, war and pain and death.
I like that.
All right, so I'm going to choose, similar to the horrors question, but has a different description on theirs. What by name did you earn in life that describes your greatest accomplishment? The Queen's Blade.
Ooh. All right. So a month has passed. Arise and protect the tomb's skeletal guardians. Our peace has been disturbed once more by an amateur grave robber.
Punk.
Describe this person, well prepared or in rags, confident or frightened. Who among you slays the tomb robber and how? Everyone must answer one question. The killer or killers may answer two. Choose once on either the glory fades or God's laugh table. I will control the robber.
Okay.
So the robber has made his way through the tunnels that have been cut into to the edifice of the mountain. And he enters from the north, walking through the gold-coined mosaics. And I'm going to say that he's well prepared for this. This is something that he has wanted to do for a long time. But this is his first actual attempt at robbing a tomb, and he picked the wrong one. He's well prepared, but he's not as confident as he would like to think that he is. He has been twitching at all of the noises that have been following him throughout the tunnels. He's had a few brushes with death when what he thought was solid ground might have collapsed underneath him. There was a time when he saw small rodent corpses just piled up amongst the sides of the walls as if something had come in and arranged them in a votive of life, a parody of action. And as he strides into this vast open chamber lit by light that has been brought in through holes and cracks and crevices, skylights, the pommel of his blade is slick with sweat, and it could fall from his fingers
as they tremble. The torch that he carries above his head has burned down nearly to his fingers. And there is a slight clink, clink, clink as his leather-soled boots collide with the coins of time. What do the skeletons do?
The creaking of bones as Tattercloak stands from his kneeling position with the tip of his blade still on the stone ground, turns to face the north opening. So you hear the scraping of the blade against the stone.
And the grind of the bones as they rotate upon each other.
It appears, even though we're in this tomb, this wind comes out of nowhere and his cloak is flowing to the side. But aside from turning to face the intruder, Tattercloak does not move from his spot.
You hear the clink of lots of gold bracelets clinking together as Hor hops down out of the alcove, click of his toenails hitting the stone floor.
I would imagine that the horror has like talons, like just kind of curling out of the bones of
it. Just kind of tapping on the stone floor as he slowly walks towards the intruder.
So in the book, it mentions that we can communicate telepathically.
Yes.
At these times.
Oh, yeah.
So the headless is going to begin walking towards the intruder, but has gotten the sense the horror hungers for this one.
Yes.
So while Headless is heading in that direction, going to mostly posturing rather than no hurry, no reason to speed up, let this guy taste fear as he sees what's coming for him.
So Headless wants to play with Horror's dinner.
No, Headless doesn't want to play with Horror's dinner. Headless really wants Horror to enjoy this, but also...
Well, by playing with him, he means increase the guy's horror.
Yes, yes, yeah, yeah. Let this guy really, really experience the dread and the bone-chilling fear that Horror was designed to bring out in people.
So, the first thing that the amateur tomb robber sees is Tattercloak. He hears this rush of wind blowing out this cloak and the scrape of the sword against the rough cut rock of the floor. And so he turns and he's holding his sword in one hand and his torch in another. And he says, "Stay back. This treasure is mine and there's nothing you can do about it." And his voice cracks. He starts circling around the west side of the sarcophagus.
With each step that the intruder takes, Tattercloak, which is already red, begins to glow.
With each step the intruder makes, Hor makes another step closer to him. So he's masking the sounds of his footsteps with the intruder's footsteps.
Okay.
Headless is now circling towards the opening to more or less make sure this guy doesn't escape, pinning him in from the backside.
So we're supposed to choose a question?
Yes.
Same list as before.
Now
it says whoever kills him can answer two.
Correct. The killer or killers may answer two.
Okay. Yep. We haven't established who that is.
Right.
So. All right, I'm going to pick one from the God's Laugh table. We chose this one before, but it's going to be something slightly different. Something the skeletons are protecting is destroyed. As the grave robber is making his way on the mosaic, stumbles a little bit, and one of the gold coins is chipped out. And as that happens, Tattercloak looks like begins to step forward, but then stops and returns to place.
There's a shrieking noise that begins coming from the sarcophagus at the disturbance of the treasure.
As the screeching sound is rising, the fresco on the eastern wall begins to vibrate and crumble, and the entire thing caves in. The entire east wall. So now that is just one, it's like a rock slide on that eastern wall. A place where a skeleton stands watch is impassable. So I cannot...
You cannot stand there anymore.
Yeah. So maybe the wall isn't crumbled as much as the...
The fresco is destroyed.
You can't reach it. Pieces of it are cracked, but the ceiling caved in there, so you can't get to that wall. Let's go with that. That's the question more. And I feel like with these questions, we have to be able to repeat questions.
Yes. Yeah.
Because with, like, let's say you get six.
It just doesn't want you to repeat it on the same turn.
Right.
Same round.
Like I repeated
something
that Johnny did the last round.
Right.
Totally different outcome.
Mm-hmm. All right. A memory that the skeleton has previously regained is false, but the truth asserts itself. Which memory and what truth? Well, the memory regained was that I had chosen to live with this ruler. I recall now that the truth is that I was actually created as a servant, created to be a protector in his life as well as death. And as Guy approaches, I'm still approaching him. Every step getting closer together.
As the amateur tomb robber reaches the western wall, he sees a silver chalice and he scoops it up and he drops it into a sack on his belt.
Well, if he's made all the way to the western wall, then I should be right on top.
Yes. But because he doesn't realize that...
Yeah, he's focusing on the treasure.
Yes.
Another reason he may not notice is because the glowing light.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And since we are able to communicate telepathically, as soon as the robber leaves the mosaic floor and goes over to the western wall, Tire Cloak would slowly, leaving his blade on the ground, dragging it, scraping it, begin to circle around behind him. So the robber would kind of be maybe looking at his shoulder and not seeing what is in front.
Yeah. I just imagine that light reflecting off the mirrors too, as well as his torchlight.
Uh-huh.
And the different colors that are coming throughout the cave.
And it's all just bouncing around and like...
Got to be a very chaotic lighting situation here.
It's like being inside of a kaleidoscope
with
murder skeletons.
Uh-huh. Yes. As he drops the chalice into his sack, I reach out with one hand, I grab the sack, and with the other, I grab his arm holding the sack. And I yank him towards me with my beak straight at his face, poking his eyes out with my beak.
No more kaleidoscope.
And as he screams in pain, I totally chew off each of his facial features.
Would you like a second question?
I don't think I need to.
Okay.
Tatter Cloak goes over to the opal niche and kneels down.
I drop like one of the organs into the chalice and put the chalice back where it belongs.
Nothing like a spleen inside of a
silver chalice.
Silver chalice,
yeah. Cool.
The chalice now has a soul attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now time is going to pass. Would we like no time at all? A day? A week? A year? Or a decade?
How well known was this guy?
Not well known at all.
Okay.
I'm imagining this is him trying to make a name for himself.
You're talking about this guy.
The tomb robber.
Okay.
Would he have told anybody that he is?
Because if he was well known, it'd be a day, you know?
I'm not sure.
His name was Chester Copperpot.
100 years.
I would go for a year.
We can do a year. Is everybody ready for the dark?
Thank you for listening to Bone Throwers Theater. We are releasing this podcast under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 Unported license. That means you can share the podcast, but please do not modify it or try to gain financially from it. If you would like to visit our website, you can do so at bonethrowerstheater.com. If you would like to send us an email, you can do so at bonethrowerstheater@gmail.com. Our Twitter handle is bonethrowerstheater. You can also look us up on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And until next time, may the bones fall ever in your favor. This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.